All right, Daniel chapter number 3. We're going to read this story. We talked the last week. We kind of referenced this a little bit. But Daniel chapter number 3, look at verse number 8. This is the story of the image of gold. And let's pick it up at verse number 8. The Bible says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let's pray this morning. Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the way you've been working in the last couple of days and just behind the scenes and unseen things. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't give up in our prayer and our time that we spend with you. Lord, we don't know necessarily sometimes the power of prayer and the workings that are going on, Lord, but I do pray that we would stay faithful to you. Lord, help us to take an example from these three young men this morning as we look at your word. Lord, give me the words to say. I pray for the pastor as he's preaching later today and tonight in a couple of places. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with him, help him. Help the Sunday school teachers this morning. I pray that you'd be with them, fill them with your power. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this story of the Bible. I think this is a fantastic story, and I think most of you are fairly familiar with it. The story of the three boys, the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. And we're actually not even really going to even get to the fiery furnace today. That might be next week, or we might just kind of skim over that just a little bit. But it was interesting. I got thinking about these three boys. And there's a lot of different messages that's been preached and lessons that have been taught out of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But one thing I want to bring to your attention is we're gonna go down to verse number 16. Obviously, these three boys, when Nebuchadnezzar said everybody needs to bow, these three boys did not bow, and it was because of their conviction. They did not believe that they should bow down to an idol, and that's basically what Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so because of their conviction, they are put in a bad spot. And I believe it was last week we talked about how the Chaldeans were envious and how that envy drove them to basically murder and how we need to be careful about that in our lives. But today I want to talk about the three boys and their decision-making process. Okay, their decision-making process. So the Hebrews' decision-making process. And in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Now, I love that. They're like, we don't even have to think about this. We don't have to put our heads together and think about the decision that we need to make here. We're not careful. We already know what we're going to say. And so that's one thing that we're going to look at this morning. And then verse number 17, the Bible says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." So they're basically saying, if you're going to throw us in there, we serve a God that can deliver us out of that furnace. "And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. All right, so if you notice, they said, and it's interesting their understanding of this. They said, our God whom we serve is able to. Okay, did you notice that? He is able to. He has the power to. But the second part of that verse says, he will. Okay, now there's a big difference there. He is able to, or he will. And regardless of what was going to happen with these three boys, they were not going to be under the power of Nebuchadnezzar anymore. Whether it be by God's delivering them out of the burning fiery furnace, or they die in that furnace, they would still be out of the power of Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Okay? So regardless, and you know, as Christians, that's a comforting thing. You know, we don't go through tribulation. We don't go through, if somebody says something bad to us, we think we've been persecuted. Well, that's not persecution. And I believe that persecution is coming to American Christians. I believe that. I really do. Some of you, I may see it. Some of you may see it some in your lifetime. I will probably see it more in mine. My kids and your grandkids will see it even more in their lives. But you know, the comforting thing about being a Christian is you can't threaten me with death. That's not a threat to me. Okay? Now, I don't want to die for a couple reasons. Number one is I don't want to die because I have a family. And I feel like it's my responsibility to take care of my family. I don't want to die because I like helping people. I like life. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. But I'm not scared to die, honestly. I'm going to preach in a couple weeks. I think pastor's going to be gone. I'm going to preach a message about along these same lines. But in fact, I talked to my wife a little bit about last night. But I've already crossed that bridge, okay? I've already gone that route in my mind. So I'm already done. I've already made that decision. And I want to talk a little bit about these three boys. In some ways, they had already made that decision. They had already made that decision. But regardless, either they would have been delivered out of the burning fiery furnace, or God would have delivered them out of the hand of the king anyway, because they would have died, okay? And at that point, Nebuchadnezzar had no more power over them. And so as a Christian, that is a comforting thing. But look at verse number 18. The Bible says, But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they said, regardless, doesn't matter. You throw us in the fire, it doesn't matter. You can threaten us all you want, but we will not serve the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, there's a couple things we're going to look at this morning, but mostly I want to talk about principled decision-making. Principled decision-making. Principled decision-making is not done, and let me just say this, principled decision-making is not done under pressure. It is not done under pressure. When you live your life making decisions by principle, you don't make those decisions in the heat of the moment. This decision for these young men was not made in front of the burning fiery furnace. This decision was made years before, or months before, or perhaps even when they were in the land of Israel still, or Judah, I'm sorry. That decision to not bow down before an idol was not made when they're standing in front of a burning fiery furnace. That decision was made, I don't know when it was made. It was made years before. And because of that, because they decided years before, they lived by principles in their life. And they would not back down on those principles. So when there's, you know, honestly, you know what most Christians today would do? They would have this philosophy, and they do have this philosophy. We have this philosophy. Well, okay, there's a choice I have to make here. And because I'm a Christian, because I stand for certain things and I believe certain things, there is going to be consequences for what I believe. So it doesn't really matter. I'll bow down to the idol. Listen, think about how easy this would have been. I don't believe in that idol. I don't believe that that thing has any power at all. But I'm going to bow down to it. But I know in my heart that I don't really believe in that. But I'm going to bow down to it so I don't get in trouble. That's what we do, honestly. You know how easy it would have been for these boys just to say, let's just bow down to it. You know, look at all these other people. You know, there's probably a lot of other people here that really don't believe in it, but they're just doing what they're told to do. But, you know, you don't hear about any of those other boys going through a fiery furnace and having a face-to-face encounter with God. The ones that had principled decisions, they're the ones that did that. So I'm gonna give you a couple definitions, and then we're gonna look at this just a little bit this morning. Principle. What's a principle? If you go to Webster's Dictionary, it's interesting. The Bible. Webster's Dictionary defines it as ground or foundation. Ground or foundation. Okay, and I'm gonna look at the word integrity also today. Integrity, uprightness, principle. You know, a man that lives by integrity, honestly, it means to live honestly, to live uprightly. Those words kind of, they mix and they interchange with each other somewhat. You know, as Christians, we need to live uprightly. We need to live honestly. In all of our business dealings, you know, it shouldn't be a Christian should be boasting about, you know, how great a deal that they ripped somebody off. That's not an upright dealing. That's not an honest dealing. Hey, I'm all for making good deals, okay? And I'm all for coming out on the better end of the deal. If I don't, I shouldn't be doing business, okay? But you shouldn't be out to rip somebody off, okay? That's not the way a Christian should conduct business. And that goes back to the principles that you live by. Not the decision that you make right there in that moment. You know, these three boys, they didn't, like I said, they didn't make this decision to not bow down before the idol when they're, and I believe when Nebuchadnezzar's threatening with them with this furnace, I think that they are standing where they can feel the heat off of this furnace. Wouldn't that have the most effect? Look, boys, if you don't bow down, I'm giving you another chance. And everybody's going to, they're going to start playing the instruments again. And I'm going to give you a chance. When I signal them, they're going to start playing. And if not, you feel that heat, you're going to go in there. And we're going to throw you in there. And then the boys said, we're not careful to answer you. Go ahead. Do what you want to. You can't hurt us. Okay? And then the Bible says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. I mean, this made him mad that he was defied by these three young men. Everybody else bowed down, and that he was defied by these three young men. So, but a principle means a ground or foundation. Integrity, I'm going to give you the three definitions, and then we'll look at these. Integrity means wholeness, completeness, purity, incorruptness. To live uprightly means to not deviate from correct moral principles. So I think all three of these things could be said about these three young men. They lived on they based their life on a foundational truth. And nothing could deviate them from that foundational truth. Let me ask you, do you base your life on a foundational truth of honesty? Or do you, when you're presented with an opportunity to stretch the truth or to not tell something in the right light, is that actually a temptation for you? Or is it automatically no, this is truth. I must tell the truth because that's the way I live my life. Okay? A few illustrations. Let me illustrate this. We challenge our young people here to live a life of purity. Okay? But you know, the decision to live a life of purity is not when they're alone in a room with a young man or a young woman and they've got all these feelings going on. That is not the time to make that decision. Because I guarantee if they wait until that time to make that decision, I know the decision that they will make. I'm flesh and you're flesh. You can tell, you know the decision that they will make. You know the time to make those decisions is at an altar and then live by principle. That's when they make those decisions. It's just, it's the same way with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know when they made the decision. Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Maybe it was in Judah when they at some point, their mom and dad, they said, all right, this is the way you need to live your life. And at some point, they believed it in their heart, and they said, this is the way we're going to live our lives. And they made that decision in Judah. You know, we challenge young people, hey, you need to take a vow of purity. And why do we do that? Because we're trying to get them to make a decision in their life right now to protect them when they're under pressure. Because, listen, it's hard to make the right decision when you're under pressure. I've made the decision for my family and for us, and most of you have made this decision. You go to church whenever the doors are open. You know, Brother Tom, how many times, and those of you that work, in, you know, sometimes, you know, it's 6 o'clock and you've still got work to do. And how many times it would be easy just to say, oh, man, I got a lot of stuff to do. I'll just skip tonight. My dad taught me this. You know how many times I wasn't very principled growing up? Okay? And my dad, we'd be working in the fields Wednesday night. Okay? We never worked Sundays. But Wednesday night, and it was like, you know, we got a lot to do. And it's time. You are on a time deadline. You never know when it's going to rain. You don't know when the last time you'll be able to put seed in the ground. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. All right, let's go to church. We get out of the tractors, usually come in work clothes, and go to church. You know what I wanted to do? I didn't want to do that. I wanted to keep doing what we needed to get done. But you know what made him do that? Was because he had decided, not in the heat of the moment, because I guarantee you, in the back of, he may have been sitting in church, but I don't think his mind was at church. His mind was in that planner thinking about, okay, he just lost 3 hours, give or take, honestly. By the time you leave, and we would, most of the time, we'd go back to work. By the time you leave at 6, you know, you're at church for an hour and a half, and you get back, you lost three. You can get quite a bit done in 3 hours. So I'm not saying, but you know what, if he made the decision to go to church or not go to church at the crunch time, more than likely, he would have made the decision that I would have made. We're not going. We just need to get this done. Okay? And my dad taught me that. My dad taught me to live by principle. To live by, okay, the doors are open today. Now, are there extenuating circumstances? Yes. There's just some, you know, Bible talks about if you have a cow that falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, which one of you wouldn't go get him out? Okay, there are extenuating circumstances, and I understand that. But that's just one illustration, okay? You know, if you wait till Sunday morning to decide that you're going to go to church on Sunday morning, you will always have a kid get sick, you wake up late, you're tired, you'll always have some. That's what we run into on the bus routes, honestly, because people don't live by principle. They don't say, well, we're going to church this Sunday. Regardless of what happens, we're going to church. They wait until Saturday night. Oh, I think I'm going to. And then they, you know, stay up till 1 o'clock Sunday morning. Then they're tired. Then they don't want to go to church. Why? Because they're not living by principle. They didn't make the decision on Monday that I'm going to church this coming Sunday. So they just wait until they're under the pressure point. And listen, you can't think logically when you're under pressure. It just doesn't happen. So it's important to live life by principles, not by pressure. Moral purity is a choice made before the pressure. Standing for God is a choice made before the pressure. Your stand for God, your commitment to doing what God wants you to do in life is a choice not made when you're in the pressure. It's a choice made by principle prior to the pressure. Okay? When I worked at Sears, they tried to, you know, most of my jobs I've worked in a Christian environment, and I thank God for that. I honestly do. I've not had to work in high pressure as far as the world pressuring me to do things. I've never really had to do that. Sears was probably the worst thing I've ever had to do. But you know, it was decisions that I made before I ever left for Bible college that determined my decisions while I was in Bible college. You know, everybody thinks that you go to Bible college and everybody's has a desire to serve God there. No, that's probably the farthest thing from the truth. And you know, when my first room in Bible college, it was like a fully carnal room, to say the least. Okay, and you know what the easy thing would have been to do? Well, this is okay. Well, I'll just go with everybody else. But it was decisions that my parents had given me opportunity to make, and pastor had given me opportunity to make, that decided before I was ever at Bible college what I was going to do. You know, getting up and reading your Bible in the morning is a principled decision, because believe me, you get up and you make the decision every morning to read the Bible, most of the time you won't read the Bible. The things of life come and you just don't. But you say, no, this is what we do. This is what I do every morning. That's living life by principle. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They didn't live life in the pressure pot in front of this burning fiery furnace. They lived it prior to that, and they made the right decisions prior to that. So when it came time, it wasn't even a question. They said, we're not even careful to answer you. This isn't even an option for us. This is what we're doing. And I think that's good. I want you to go to Job chapter number 2. I love the story of Job, and we're going to look at Job just in correlation with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because you know none of us have ever had to stand in front of a burning fiery furnace, okay? And probably none of us ever will. Honestly, we've never had to do that, but some of you have or will have, and myself included. I include all of us. We'll go through possibly some things that Job went through. Not all of them. None of us will ever go through all of them. But we'll always go through some things. Okay? And Job's an interesting example. Look at Job chapter 2, verse number 3. Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." You know, Job was a man that lived by principle. He didn't live by the pressure. Listen, you think about a pressure pot of life. What Job went through was a pressure pot of life. Job, let's keep going, okay? Look at Job chapter 2, verse number 9. So, between 3 and 9, Satan comes to God and says, "All right, if you allow me to take Job's health, Job's life, you know, everything that Job has, he'll curse you." And so God says, "All right, you can take everything but save his life." Look at verse number 9. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." We have here a man that lived by principle. He said, you know, Bible says in one spot, "Yea, if thou dost slay me, yet will I trust in thee." I paraphrase that a little bit, but Job said, whatever you do, God, it doesn't matter because I've already made my decision to live life for you. Listen, if we don't make a decision to serve God, if you don't make a decision to serve God while it's easy, you won't serve God while it's hard. And that's what we tell the young people. Listen, you're given an opportunity to serve God, and you can make those decisions to serve God now while it's easy, but there will come a time when you have to make the decision to serve God when it's not easy. And what makes them make that decision? The principles of life. Not the pressure, okay? It's the principles. And if we're not careful, we live life so much by pressure and we don't live it by principle. So we see that in the life of Job. Job chapter 27, I'll just read a few of these to you. Job chapter 27, verse 5, Bible says, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Whatever you do doesn't change the way I believe. It's still the way I believe. I'm living by principle. Let me ask you, do you live by principle or do you live by pressure? Do you live by principle? And a lot of times in my life, I have to, honestly, when I was looking at this, there's things in my life that I don't necessarily live by principle. I live by convenience. I live by pressure. You know, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a great commission. God's given us a commission to go soul winning. So do we, you know, it's time for soul winning. Do we live by, oh, I got to go. It's time for me to go soul winning. Or do we live by, I don't have time to do that today. You're living by pressure, not by principle. Okay? There's a reason that we have times that we go soul winning. It keeps me accountable. You know, I go soul winning every Wednesday, 3:30. We go soul winning. And you know what that does? There are times in my life that I don't have time. I don't have time to go soul winning at 3:30 on Wednesday. My schedule's crazy, all right? I don't have time that. No, most Wednesdays, you know, I schedule it. That's part of being principled. You schedule it in. But there's sometimes it's like, man, I don't. Saturday morning, principle. You know, I don't go Saturday morning on the SWAT thing, but every Saturday we go bus visiting. At some time during Saturday. Now, it's not always the same time, depending on what I have to do on Saturday, but we go Saturday, and that's just part of our day. Okay? That's principled. Honestly, I did not go yesterday. I said all that, but we had, Brother Levi took care of it for us. We had a youth rally, went 3 hours on that, and then we went visiting for another, it wasn't bus visiting, but we visited for another 3 hours after that. Okay? But that's living life, not by pressure. Look, I got a house. I could be working on something else, believe me. But you live by principle, not by... Now, Brother Chad, you do... No, I don't. I don't do everything by principle. All right? I'm guilty. There's a lot of things I do by pressure. But the decisions of life we shouldn't make by pressure. We should make by principle. And... Job chapter 31, verse 6, the Bible says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. I'm going to go to Proverbs. I got a few verses I want to read you in Proverbs, okay? Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. Look at that, if you would. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 3, the Bible says, the integrity of the upright, okay? So if we went back to the definitions, the wholeness, the completeness, the purity, the incorruptness of not deviating from correct moral principles. So you have this foundation, if you would, a principle, the foundation that is keeping you morally correct, morally pure, morally incorrupt. That is the foundational truth that's keeping you that direction. Upright. You ever think about the word upright? Do you know that, interesting that we should say that, maybe this is really weird, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were upright in more than one way. It took uprightness to stay upright when everybody else was bowing down. And uprightness will let you do that. When everybody else is bowing down to whatever the world says you need to bow down to, You know what one of the definitions of upright is? Is perpendicular to a plane. That means this. You stand upright when everybody else is parallel. Does that make sense? I mean, it's a very basic, very... But that's what happened with the boys, with the three Hebrew young men, is they stood upright when everybody else let their moral whatever lay down on the ground just because Nebuchadnezzar said so. Okay? But the boys stood upright. They lived an upright life. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. That's what they did. Their integrity guided them in this pressure spot of their life. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Brother Chad, if I don't do this, if I don't make this decision, I'm going to lose some money on this deal. So you're willing to compromise your principles for your money. The Bible says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. He's better. Okay? Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 7. The Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity. That's the way he lives his life. That's the way of life for him, is his integrity. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived by integrity. They lived by principle. They lived an upright life. A life that when everybody else was bowing down to the things of the world, they said, no, we're going to be upright. We're going to be morally sound, morally whole. We've got a foundation that we stand on. In my life, there are times that I need to make decisions all the time to live by principle, not by pressure. Because it's easy when you're living by pressure to make the wrong decisions. Just personal, and I talked about moral purity here before. You know, when I was in high school, that was a big deal to me. And rightfully so, it ought to be a big deal. And I made decisions because I know my flesh, I know my weakness, I know I am but dust as the rest of us are, okay? But there were decisions I made in high school, okay? This may sound really stupid to you, but if there ever was an opportunity, a situation where I was left alone in a room with a lady, I would leave the room. Now, that may sound... honestly, it didn't matter unless she was like, you know, unless I was helping her and she was old enough to be my grandmother. I mean, I pretty much left, okay? But you know what, that you say, that's stupid, that's silly. No, that's safe. Okay, that's safe. The no-touch rule that we have here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know, I wouldn't play basketball if a girl was playing basketball. Well, that's ridiculous. No, that's safe. That's principle. And there's just, they didn't, you know, people didn't, why don't you do this? Because I didn't go into doctrinal exhortation on why I didn't stay in the room, okay? I just left. But it was because I know me, and I know my flesh, okay? And I know that if I live way up here by principle, if a pressure point would ever come, honestly, the principles I had set pretty much eliminated any pressure. Yes, sir. It eliminated those pressure spots. Amen. So you didn't have to make the decision in those. I mean, are there situations where those things still come? Yeah. But the decision was already made. I honestly couldn't tell you where I made the decision to be pure until I got married. And this is just one illustration, okay? It could be your church attendance. It could be your soul winning. It could be your stand for God. It could be whatever it is. It's got to be made before that time. Because believe me, when you're standing and you're looking at that furnace that these guys are getting ready to throw you into, it'll be much harder to make that decision. Now, do any of us have to face a furnace? Not a literal furnace, but there will be times in life. What if you're given an opportunity, you know, to take money that's not yours? That's a furnace. What if you're given an opportunity to say something that you shouldn't say? That comes to all of us. You're giving an awareness of facts, and maybe you shouldn't say those facts, be it they are true or not true. Sometimes we should just keep our mouths shut. But you know, if we don't live by principle, you know, everybody wants to be the one that has the newest fact, the newest juicy bit of news. Well, you know what I heard. Well, just keep your mouth shut. Well, it's hard to do. That's why you decide to do it before you ever get in that position. You know, people don't come to... What goes on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I am pretty much oblivious to. I don't get all the, you know, the new facts about everybody. And you know, people don't come to me. People don't come talk to me about stuff. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to know. And I will shut you down. You know, don't come tell me all the bad, you know, if it's a legitimate concern and there's something that I can do to help one of these young people, you can come with the right spirit and I'll listen because I want to help them. But if it's just coming to tell me all the bad things that they've done, it'll be interesting for you for a while. Okay? Do you want me to go into your past and dig up all the stuff that you've done and go share it with everybody else? No, it's you live by principle. You say, no, I'm okay, maybe this is true, maybe it's not true, but I know enough to pray, and maybe that's all we should do. Okay? Now, I'm not saying if you know some, you know, there's a balance there. I understand that. You know, some things have to be brought to leadership, and I'm not, that should be taken to pastor, not me. Okay? I'm not the one that you need to be coming and telling things to, okay? If you need to go to anybody and tell something to, it's not me. Now, if it's my kids, you come directly to me and I will take care of it, okay? But that's my kids. That's not your kids, okay? But what causes people to you know, have to do this all the time? They don't live by principle. They just live by the moment. You know, there's something sick about their satisfaction about spreading stuff. I'm just being honest with you. Okay? So live by principle. And it could be, you think about any area of life where you have to make a decision. And if you have to sit there and you have to think about what you're doing, I'm not saying, you know, we all have to think about stuff. But if it's a right and wrong thing, and you have to sit there and mull it over, that decision should have made a long time ago on what you were to do in that situation. So let's be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's live a principled life, not a pressured life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help me. I am in no means good at this. Lord, I want to do better. I want to live, make decisions that will govern my life. Lord, I want to be like Job. Job lost everything he had. And still he blessed God. And Lord, I don't want to be one that when I'm put in a pressure situation that I back down and I fail you. Lord, help me to do better. Lord, I pray for our church family here. Thank you for everyone. God, I thank you for our young people. Pray for the special needs in the lives of some of them, Lord. And I pray that you just meet there. Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.